Hour number two of Caroline, Willie, and D-Maze live from Ascension St. Thomas Sports Park for Titans training camp day number one. Junior Riddle, Derek Mason in today. And we got Jonathan Hutton from Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow from Outkick. Jonathan, how are we doing today?
Doing great, guys. Hope everything is well out at training camp. And I'm glad football is back, even in a limited fashion as we get going for camp and practices across the league.
It is back, and it has been a great day out here at Ascension St. Thomas because it seems like the clouds decided to come out and give us some cover, so it's not been as blazing hot as it normally is in July in past years.
Yeah, well, I mean, and that's another thing that D-Mace had to go through. Is I was always hot and miserable on two-a-days, and now even the players have cloud cover. That's in the new CBA.
They're just generating them out there. They're doing everything they can, Hutton, to protect the health. But a big storyline of training camp this year, obviously, is going to be the battle for the backup quarterback position. We saw in minicamp Malik Willis really take a step forward from what we saw last year, Jonathan. But today, something that Derek and I both collectively noticed, that Will Levis seemed to have the better day of training camp on day one. So what is your reaction to that?
I mean, I expect Will Levis to be the backup quarterback for the Tennessee Titans. He's going to get a ton of reps in the preseason, as will Malik Willis. And I know that Vrabel gave Willis a shout-out for his offseason, you know, and for grinding and trying to improve and do all that. And by all accounts, his offseason's been good when the media's been able to observe. It's a storyline of camp. The emergency quarterback option now is also playing into this, but yeah, I don't know how Willis isn't the odd man out of this, with Levis being the second round pick this year with the new GM, and with Vrabel a year after taking the backup QB doing it again. I don't know why you draft Levis if he's not backing up Ryan Tannehill.
Yeah, you're right about that. You know, and it's going to be, Hutt, it's going to be a fluid situation, I think, because I told Junior, I said, listen, you know, there are going to be days where, you know, Malik Willis looks better than Will Levis, and there's going to be days that Will Levis look better than Malik Willis. But what I want to see is that both guys are getting better each day. I think if that happens, then that helps not just those two individuals, but it helps the Titans.
Yeah, and while I'm just sitting here thinking about Willis in this offense. You know, Tim Kelly's also signed off on Levis. Let's put that out there too. Mm-hmm. But we did see in spurts, and I didn't like how Todd Downing forced some of the gadget plays and things with Willis last year when he wasn't needing, when Tannehill was healthy. But I wonder if they use him in some way to their benefit offensively like that again. I don't know, but if so, you know, that would be a reason to keep him active on game day in certain situations. Again, I think they can get creative and put the ball in his hands and see what happens with his legs and how he runs. He's got to improve in the passing game. That's been an absolute must from Vrabel. We saw that last year in the preseason. That can't happen again, but all accounts point to him doing exactly that. So with that being said, let's just look at it from the Will Levis perspective. Mm-hmm. If he loses the backup job to Malik Willis, what is going on there? Like just surface level, without seeing any preseason, without knowing any injury things that are going to pop up, all of that plays a factor. But drafting Levis based on value, and he falls to the second round, and then he potentially, hypothetically here for our discussion, doesn't win the backup gig to a guy that could not finish the season as the starter because Joshua Dobbs on 4 days' notice was better for them in a must-win game against Jacksonville. Yeah, that's not a good sign if it ends up that way, guys. That's just me point-blank saying that's a huge screw-up on their end if Levis is not beating out Willis.
We'll talk with Jonathan Hutton, Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow Now, what is another position? Because I want to see if you agree with me on this. Now, we know the offensive line is a storyline in this training camp. We know, well, the receivers and who's going to make up the back end of the depth with this receiver core. We know that will be a story. But I think the other story, and I think the story that is sort of being missed because of the front seven and how good they have been, is the secondary. I think if this team is going to take another step, they can't rely so heavy on the defensive front seven, because we saw what happened last year. Those guys started to get injured. Jeffrey was playing on a bum ankle. And if you don't have a secondary that can hold up, meaning those three corners, then it's going to be a long day.
Yeah, you can speak volumes to this. I mean, it's not even top corner against top receiver. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, the slot against their third best receiver against the Titans' third best defensive back, right? Like, that one-on-one matchup is going to be on an island too, because you're probably giving some help over the top to the best receiving option that they're going to face throughout. That will start in week one with Chris Olave, for instance, and Michael Thomas and others. This team, the heart of this team is the defensive front. They've got, what, $55 million or so in that defensive line based on contract values. That's where the production has to happen. They bring in Arden Key. He's energized. He's available. I think that's important throughout his career. He's been available. Landry's coming off injury, though. You're right. They have put their stock into players on the defensive backfield that, you know, it's boom or bust right now. Make or break years for a lot of them. And in, you know, Farley's case, he still can't get on the field. So, yeah, I mean, but Mace, the one thing the Titans have done well, even in some really dire spots, defensively, they have lived up to the next man up mantra. Exactly. And I do think the coaches have gotten the most out of talent that, I mean, would be on a practice squad for a team that's healthy. And instead, they're starting on any given Sunday based on the injury history of the last 2 years. Defensively, I'm very confident in them getting the most out of certain players and keeping it steady. But that doesn't always win you games in a passing league where the rules are set up against the defense, especially on the outside in the passing game.
So, Jonathan, we had talked about this previously before, and I think obviously, clearly, everybody can see that this defense is going to be the strength of this team. But one position group on the defense that concerns me going into the season is the inside linebacker position. And today we saw a guy, Jack Gibbons, who was signed off the streets last year. He got some opportunities due to injury late last year, get some good reps. What do you see coming out of that position this year, and who do you really see kind of taking that step and holding the reins for the inside linebacker position in the middle of the defense?
Well, Monty Rice, he's got to step up and be the version of David Long as far as the player that we saw on the field instead of in the training room. Rice has also been in the training room. But then they have Al Shire, who is a hand-picked player that they signed from San Francisco through Rand Carthon whenever he got the job. They're looking for guys that can steady the ship and seek the ball, you know, guys that are going to be able to fill a gap and shed blocks and potentially have to cover in a red zone situation as well. But you're right to point this out, but they mix and match so much at that spot. And rotate. They've been rotating a lot of guys in over the last couple of years. It feels more about, you know, that line of thinking right now. And you know, they lost players at that spot. But Junie, they didn't lose a lot of game reps. I mean, it was guys that are hurt a lot. I like David Long Jr. the player, but you know, Vrabel has an issue with the soft tissue. Problems that he's had, and he got a contract that the Titans could have easily re-signed him for whenever he signed with the Dolphins. Point being, the guy they signed from San Francisco, Al Shire, he's been available, and he is in line with what Carthon wants to bring in, and production versus price. And that's the version that they have right now at the inside linebacker spot. But they've invested high in that spot in recent years through the draft. I like the version of what they have, investing in other key areas, and the inside linebacker just isn't one of those right now, based on the way the offenses are set up that you have to defend.
The big news here recently is obviously the signing of DeAndre Hopkins. He spoke to the media yesterday, and he talked about his recruitment and how he got there and why he ended up going with the Tennessee Titans. What were your takeaways from that interview and in the tone that got? Because it's been getting a lot of different mixed reviews from people who watched it.
Well, I mean, I hear him, and I think he should come in and be energized. No doubt about it. An opportunity to get another paycheck soon to come. I mean, that would be the motivation. Mason and I talked about this. It was last week or the week before. At 31, like, is he on a mental pace to want to prove all the doubters wrong? There's not many guys. Mace is one of them. At that age, who then go on to have 4,000 more yards in their career post 31. It doesn't happen. It's in the 20s, 23 or 24 in the history of the league. He can certainly be that, but the suitors were not there. You know, the Patriots had a chance to match it. They didn't. The type of contract that the Titans offered and what was deemed aggressive, the Titans were the most aggressive, but they were one of two teams in the mix. And Kansas City didn't even try to, you know, throw an offer out there. That was peculiar, and that should have him pissed off for greatness. And he's been great. He's got a great range on a catch radius, and he scores touchdowns. He should come in and be that player. And if he is, the Titans have improved immensely on offense. They're going to score more than 18 points a game. Let's just start there. If Hopkins comes in and he's that player. But I get the mixed reviews because you don't really know. I think we would recognize him. He's a superstar in the league, but he's not really vocal. You don't hear from him like you do some of the other guys. So I think there is an unknown on the tenor and tone of what he's bringing. But here's the thing. I do get the sense it's more than just a Julio Jones from him. Like it's not a – I don't think it's just a lackadaisical, all right, let's finish up. Let's, you know, get another paycheck for a year and see what happens. I think it's different than that based on what he's trying to prove. And, you know, all the talk about trying to get traded when it didn't happen, he should be looking to prove a point.
That's Jonathan Hutton from Outkick's Hot Mic with Hutton and Withrow. Appreciate you taking the time, Hutt, man. We'll talk to you next week.
Absolutely. Always enjoy this, guys. Thank you.
Yep.
Absolutely. Appreciate it. Coming up next, we're going to kind of dive into what Jonathan had to say. We're also going to get into a little bit of what Ryan Tannehill looked like and who he seemed to have some really good chemistry with today in 7-7 and 11-on-11. You're listening to Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game.